This system is divided again in two. The first half of your first half of life is devoted to being a student, learning it. It's called brahmachari. Now, the ideal for the student in India is the virtue known as shraddha. And shraddha means absolute faith. Shraddha means perfect submission to the master. Now, with this perfect submission, the student is to concentrate all of his libido, all of his erotic interest in the master, too. He is to identify with him to the very tip of his fingers. He is to imitate him, to be like him, to become him. And you have, you might say, a passing on of the image. No development of the critical faculty. Next, at puberty, the student suddenly becomes a householder. His costume is changed, he dresses differently, he has a whole new set of duties. He's married suddenly to a little girl he never saw before, she never saw him, they're not supposed to have known each other. The great crisis comes when you can imagine it perhaps, the wall or screen is removed and each sees the other. And for the girl, this is a particularly shocking moment because this is her god, literally. She is to worship him. This is called the householder, or grihastha. And there, he does what his duties are. So before they're very old, they have a little family round about. That means that by the time the man is in mid-40s, there's a son old enough to take over the household. He has quit himself of his duties. He now goes into the forest. He there finds a teacher. He becomes vanaprastha, one standing in the forest. Yoga. This is the real severe yoga now. To eliminate whatever remains of ego. This is the point I want to make. The whole village life has been devoted to doing what you're supposed to do. But there will be a tincture of ego nevertheless there. This is the discipline of getting rid of it entirely. And when it is entirely gone, one becomes a bhikshu, a wandering monk, an oracle. Of the knowledge of non-being, of non-entity, of not being an ego. The Indians speak of the four things for which men live. This is the basic theme of Indian philosophy. Three of the things for which men live are in the village. One is dharma, virtue. Another is success, artha. A third is pleasure, kama. Those are the things for which men live in the world. When one goes into the forest, one seeks moksha, release. Now, this word is freely translated freedom. That is not what it means. It means release from ego itself. Dharma is imposed by the society. The society tells you what your dharma is. And the notion is that since you have come in as a vaishya, then your soul is of vaishya level, and the ritual and laws of vaishya life are proper for you. That is to say, the law of society corresponds precisely to your own personal need, your readiness. These two drives are exactly, and I think this is tremendously interesting, these are exactly what Freud calls id. Eros and thanatos. The will to experience pleasure and the will to drive yourself through. This is developed in India gloriously in the Kundalini, yoga, and so forth. It seems to me tremendously interesting that in the West, quite independently from the Indian system, an introverted psychology brings out this notion of the nature drive as being exactly the same two drives that we have in India. Now, the Indian idea is these two are nature's ends. This is society's end. And the function of the individual is to achieve his success and his pleasure under the ceiling of Dharma. Then the ultimate spiritual experience is in the forest, where you cancel ego according to disciplines announced to you by your guru. Now, that is the system that I would like to hold in contrast to the one that seems to me to be normal in the West of ego development. There's just one more point.